Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. It's Dave@PetsoFinancial.net. You know, I wasn't sure what to talk about at all. I mean, not that I'm ever sure, but sometimes you have this, like, that's going to be a something to talk about. And this week, it's been interesting. I just haven't found a lot to talk about. You know, obviously the same old stuff of markets do fine in the long run. We're in this tumultuous period right now. Hold the course. All those things, right? But I've been talking about that. And we will, of course, today because, gosh, so many of the basic things that we talk about are really the same basic things we've talked about for over 30 years that Money Matters has been on. But I got to thinking about it, too. How caught up we are in today's news. I talked about this last week, right? About this intense speed of the markets and the speed of, which frightens us, is how fast things can move. And all things. But we also forget that the speed of those things solves the problems so quickly. When markets are free to operate. And they haven't been free to operate for a long time. I mean, think about how weird it is to think about a family-oriented company like Disney deciding that they need to jump into a political discussion about whether it's appropriate to teach kindergarten kids about doing sex change stuff. I think that's really weird. Like, super weird. And takes us really, really far away from what's important, which is for business to just not be involved in that and simply decide it's time for us to figure out how to get more people into the park again, post-pandemic. How to operate efficiently. Cleaner. Circulate air more quickly. Whatever it is you think you should be doing as a business to make people feel safe to come to your park. And make movies and et cetera. Disney's a big company. They're not a park company. This is what we have. And money management at Wall Street, we have all these companies that are like woke. We don't think you should give money to energy companies. Huh? You shouldn't loan companies money because you don't like what they do. Okay, but it's not illegal what they do. If you really don't like it, make it illegal. Yeah, well, we need to ban that. And what that does is cause an incredible distortion in the economy and doesn't allow us to solve problems. Now, some of this is so outlier, so weird, like Disney is so... This is so bizarre for Disney to act this way. It's just bizarre. They have special tax treatment in Florida. They're endangering that. I mean, it just goes... The list goes on of how stupid this is. It's stupid on its forehead anyway. Why would you have to comment about stuff like that? Why? Just tell your employees to shut up. If you don't like your job, go somewhere else. Good Lord, it's like weird. Oh well, we don't want our employees to be unhappy, so we censor Donald Trump. We don't want to be unhappy, so we censor people here in Silicon Valley. We spy on Republicans. I mean, it's just weird. And so what are we getting? We're getting this tipping point where it's kind of pushing back. And we even though we're struggling right now to come out of the pandemic because markets aren't as free to operate. It's not up to a business to make a political statement like ever. I mean, ever. That's the individuals and customers. It's not the business's point, and that's the way business operates best. we have no point. We are not trying to make a point. We are simply trying to provide a service, a product, whatever it is. We'll let the politicians and other people pick it, do whatever, leave it alone. And we got away from that. It's making it somewhat, adding additional friction to the markets. But let's not forget how quickly things repair. So last week we talked about the speed of the markets on terrorizing people, right? It's like, oh my gosh, my account went down. But remember, the speed of the market is how quickly things heal, too. I've mentioned this before, but I think it bears repeating. How far down do you think the market is since the war started? It's not gone real well, the war, right? I mean, a lot of people, a lot of blood. It's not gone well. Certainly, it's gone terribly for Russia. Well, if you were listening, you heard that, in fact, the weirdness of this is that the market's not down at all since the war started. It's actually up. It's actually up since the war started. The speed of everything works in both directions, and we forget that. Well, I think we'll just wait till this war ends. Okay? You can. But you won't. When you're out, you're out. And we forget the danger of being out because the danger of being out is that you're out. And you stay out because there's always a reason to stay out. Always a reason to stay out. Always. There's always bad news around every corner. Life is completely uncertain. It's unknown and therefore scary. And now with the speed of information, the speed of the markets increasing at such an exponential level, we know everything bad that could happen. In fact, and we make up all kinds of stuff. I don't know if you heard the first segment here with Kevin, but it's that constant thing out there where we're like, gosh, okay, now we're going to talk about what? The people want to use the yuan over the U.S. dollar? My gosh. No. That's just beyond who would besides the Chinese. Who trusts the Chinese? Nobody. Who thinks that the economy of China is free-flowing? It's free to operate. Nobody. Nobody. But this won't stop. Just because there's a free flow of information doesn't make that information worth anything. It's really, for some people, it's just like hopeless. They will always figure out what's wrong. And always have. And they won't change. It's like arguing against with somebody that's incapable of change. It's like trying to tell an insane person, seriously. I think it's a form of insanity that I can't and won't listen to facts about things that I just continue to make things up in my head. But it's like arguing against what, like I used to tell my grandma when she was losing her mind early on, that I was arguing with her about that she hadn't won a lottery. She was being ripped off by crooks. And she didn't believe me. She was sure that I and my father were keeping her from winning millions of dollars. That's what she was sure of. Couldn't change it. Couldn't change her mind. You can't change people's minds. If they believe the world is ending, they're going to believe the world is ending. That's it. And so I gave up. But it doesn't mean we have to give up ourselves to not allow all of that in. To understand that the speed of the markets is also in the recovery of markets post everything. our energy price is going to go up to $200 a barrel and stay there for the rest of our lives. No, they're not. The speed of recovery when we figure out, or whether it is we get rid of the bonehead, right? Whether Joe just goes, my gosh, I mean, we really got some bad polling numbers here because gasoline is at $7 in California. Now it's at $8, and then it's at $9. I just think we probably, and nobody believes it. When I tell them it's Putin's price hike, they don't believe me. They don't believe that it's the evil oil companies. They're not believing that anymore. Even though Twitter and Google and Facebook are all helping me message this, they're not believing it anymore. Maybe we'll drill some wells. These things happen quickly. And they meant Joe may do it anyway. He may turn it around at some point and go, well, we've decided we're going to do this. I mean, now they're making up stuff with we're going to let energy companies go on to federal land, but they got to pay super amounts of money and all these things. In other words, they're not opened up yet. But at some point, it does. And it's not just the United States. It's whether it's the UAE, the Saudi Arabia, they pump more oil. Whether it's Putin gives up, finds a way out. I don't know. But the speed of the market recovery is quick. It's quick. And you're trapped out. And this is why it's important that we don't get trapped out by thinking, oh, well, after this is done, I'll be right back. You won't. You won't. Psychologically, you've been wiped out now. All right, I got to take a quick break. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetzoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-KIDO, that is our number. I'm going to talk about this in the next hour, too. How much markets look ahead. And we just totally forget that. And it's easy to forget because we're living in the moment, right? I mean, we try to, right? We say we do, and we try to live in the moment. Not in the future. But when we're making plans, right? And if you think of this in just a pure business sense, I guess you can think of it in a personal sense too, but when we are simply saying, should we expand, should we grow, take a vacation, how much can we afford, budgeting, whatever. That's all future thought. And so it is with businesses. And so it is with investing. But what we are caught in, nobody knows. I mean, we can make all the plans we want, but we don't know what the future will bring. Which is why we're always making course corrections, right? I mean, we're a little this way, a little that way. You don't set out a port and go, well, we're going that way, and then never check and make sure you're still on course and actually have to make a course correction. Currents, winds, storms, whatever it is, you're drifting. And it's the same thing as you're facing in business. Oh, we never saw that competitor coming. Oh, my gosh, we never saw a recession over here. Holy cow, never knew that the energy was going to cost so much to make the chemicals that we make. Wow, prices are just crazy. Okay, we get that. And when we get caught up day to day in the news of the moment, in the news of the day, we really, really miss the fact that maybe the economy is expected to boom next year. Remember in the middle of the pandemic, people are like, how can the market be doing so good? Because we're going to come out of the pandemic someday. And I get you. I know. They've got politicians out there that are crazily trying to keep everybody masked up, everybody under control, everybody this and that, right? You still can't get on an airplane, can't walk through the airport. China still locks down Shanghai. It just, none of this makes any sense. And they call it science. I get that. But in spite of all that, it's opening up, right? And so people are like, wow, in 2020, the market can't be doing this. This is crazy in 2021. Oh, no, it just can't keep going. And it does. Because it's thinking ahead. We have to think ahead. It doesn't mean we know the future, but we have to be continually thinking ahead, not in the moment. We'll talk after Fox News. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436-580-KIDO. Dave at petzofinancial.net if you prefer email. That's just fine. Send us a note. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Markets look ahead, and it's really hard for us to really think about that, okay? In fact, sometimes we're so blocked about the thought. For example, California, I know California is not sane. They're not. They continue to drive business and people out of their state. The most beautiful state, greatest natural resources, best coastline, best farming. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. Minerals, everything, right? They even have oil there. It's only human beings could mess that up. I mean, seriously, these people are Looney Tunes. They have completely lost their mind. And then they just keep going. They just keep going. Now, they are proposing legislation that is going to make it mandatory to pay what a full week is, but only work 4 days. What a grand idea. I mean, who doesn't think that businesses will flock to California with the idea that, hey, maybe we could just like shut down the factory for an extra day? Every day is a Saturday here. But we have to pay full wages. And forget about all the onerous, idiotic, Looney Tunes stuff that goes on in California. That you can't do anything. You can't build a high-speed train from San Francisco to L.A. with the Federale's money because you can't get permitting done in a 10-year period of time. So we think it's a grand idea to make up all kinds of new business rules to make sure that businesses don't ever want to stay in or come to California. This is amazing. It's stunning. When we think of the speed of the markets working positively, they have to work against this kind of stupidity. Politicians do this all the time. They mess with markets all the time. They think they can tweak here and tweak there. They think they're smarter than the markets, which really shows how incredibly stupid they are. And unbelievably arrogant to boot, because who in the world thinks that they're smarter than the collective markets? You can't. You can hold about 10, 12 thoughts in your head. The markets are collectively dealing with billions of little pieces of information that somehow works together to create a better planet. It's unbelievable. And the more we try to mess it up, the more it doesn't perform its function as well. But we keep trying. We keep doing. And in spite of that, the markets keep looking ahead, and they keep their head up. They keep in line. And the speed of those markets is faster and faster all the time. So when we talk about speed of the markets and how it frightens us on the downside, we also need to equally, though, go, okay, I get that part. Understand how quickly they come back and why trying to trade that doesn't work. And why so many of the best days in the market are right next to the worst days in the market. Because the market is speedily digesting fear and greed. But they move next to each other. So it makes it impossible for us to time. But we keep doing it. We keep moving to the dark side. Well, I can, but it's going to, I'm worried about the ruble, or I'm worried about this currency taking over, or digital currency taking over, or we need to back it by gold, and that's the only thing that'll work. Okay. But it hasn't been true. It just hasn't been true. And so, do I know what the market's going to do next week? Not at all. Do I predict that it's going to go up? Okay, well, let's see. If I was actually going to say, if you give me 50-50 odds, up or down, I would bet up every single time, no matter what the news is. Why? Because the market's up most of the time. Now, only slightly more than 50%, but over time, that means I win a lot of money. Because most of the time, it's up. Most weeks are up. Most months are up. Most years are up. About 3 out of 4 years are up. So when we think about it from just a general broad sense, why would I ever be betting it's going down? Because you are backed into the world is ending. I watch the news. I see the news. I know what's coming. I know what's going on. You're backed into that corner. Because A, you're reading the wrong stuff. B, you're not helping your brain digest all the negativity. You're not. You're not helping yourself. Because it's awful easy to pick up the newspaper and know instantly what's wrong with the world. Instantly. We talk about it all the time. I mean, honestly, how can you be positive in a world that seems to be on fire all the time? Well, we can. Because what we do is we simply recognize that that's what sells. Bad news sells, not good news. You know, those devils at Twitter, and then they're turning down Musk, and the world's coming to an end. Disney is trying to be a woke company. So many are. I don't know why. But we'll work through that. The world is at war, and then it isn't for a day, and then it is somewhere else. We constantly know what's wrong. But we always forget that the market is moving ahead, and the trajectory of mankind has been to get better and better and better. Most certainly economically. Now, you may think spiritually we're dying, we're doing, I get all that, totally. Different program, okay? Different thought. But economically, even places like Africa are getting slowly better. We totally take for granted that over the last 10 years, just the last 10 years, because of better potable water and things like this, I mean, it's just, we don't have millions of people in famine in Africa every year. We don't. They just, like, that problem went away. Oh, yeah, that went away. But look what's going on in Ukraine. Look what's going on here. I mean, we just get caught in this endless loop of, yeah, well, we may have solved that, but that terrible thing over here is still happening. Or here's a new terrible thing to worry about. I got it. But when it comes to business, and it comes to that idea that we are not able to solve problems, and this time this is going to get us, I totally disagree. It's never been true. And it's a big bet that this time it really is going to be the end of economic development globally. And with economic development globally, what do you think individual companies that are doing it even better, becoming more productive more quickly, are going to do? Well, they're going to make even more money. In spite of Looney Tune people like, you know, Elizabeth Warren that want to shut everything down, that think she's so smart that she can regulate it all. The kooks of California, they're just watching people leave. They're watching businesses go. But doesn't it feel like there's got to be a tipping point in there somewhere, right? Somewhere? But that's the beauty of it. So Tesla leaves, for example. Many examples of it, but Tesla takes its entire factory and goes to Texas. Bob's Billiard Company moves out, goes to Nevada. Whole bunch of gun-toting, freedom-loving Northern Californians go to Idaho. They're refugees. We're free to move. Businesses grow and move and change and evolve. That's what we sometimes miss. And they do it with such speed that that speed isn't just on the downside, it's on the upside. Markets price in expectations. Sometimes the markets are wrong. But when you look at something like the market being up since the beginning of the war, you can either look at that and go, see, the market's wrong. It's going to die. It could. I don't know. Didn't you know interest rates are going higher? No, because I just stay clueless as I possibly can. I'm a market trader. I'm a hedge fund manager. And I was just baffled that the Federal Reserve decided to raise interest rates. I didn't know where that was coming from. The people in Ukraine know the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Why in the world do people talk about this? Well, what happens when the Fed raises rates? The market is knowing it's going to raise rates. It's already priced in to what our assumption is. Yeah, I guess it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. I mean, it's like going, wow, I just never knew Christmas would come. Yeah, it's the 25th of December. It's right there every year. Oh, I never knew the Fed would raise rates. Yeah, they will. The next meeting they have, that's going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, next month. I believe it's the second week. So you think they'll raise rates on Wednesday? Yeah, I do. So does everybody. Except, of course, sometimes our brain goes, wow. And then because we're watching like, you know, CNBC or something. So the Fed raised rates and that's why the market did whatever. So the market went up and then it's because Fed raised rates. Market goes down. Well, the Fed raised rates. But no, it's not cause and effect. The market went down. So let's find the cause. Make something up every single day. Because it makes us sound smart, not unknown. Like, we just can't figure anything out. Of course, we can't figure it out. And why we have to decide why the market's doing something on a one-day basis is absurd. Once again, 3 out of 4 years, the market's up. It's up an average of 10% over your entire life. And I didn't ask how old you are, because it doesn't matter, because if it's more than 20 years old, it's 10%. Really close to 10% all the time over long periods of time. That's it. So it has the highest rates of return. Most of the time it's up, and we get freaked out by it. Interesting. And that's the whole mental, the speed of the markets. And it's getting more and more terrorizing unless we remember that that speed is also on the upside because we're solving those problems with such speed. Will we always be dealing with Ukraine? No. No, we won't. But can you believe that even now, after 8 weeks of war, that the market is up from the beginning of the war? But what about inflation? What about this? What about that? I get it. Markets are looking ahead to the solving of problems. Well, what if Putin does it? I get that. I thought there was an interesting piece of advice. I think I read it today or yesterday in the journal of somebody in Canada. Okay. This is a final thought as we head to our break. He says to his clients, with all this, you know, well, what if they drop a nuke? What if they do this? What if Putin does that? Okay? It doesn't matter to your portfolio if we go into a nuclear war, what your asset allocation is. So you might as well be really aggressive and buy under the assumption we solve this problem. That's a great advice, actually. There is nothing you can do if the Soviet Union and the United States of America start lobbing nuclear weapons at each other. There's not a portfolio allocation that works. True. And I hear that in different ways all the time, right? What are we going to do if the U.S. dollar goes to zero? I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, do you own bonds? Yeah, and they pay them off with zero value money. Well, stocks can't do well. No, because the value of all the corporations goes to zero. And then we have chaos, and I guess we're all hungry. I don't know. I don't know how to manage around that. All the what ifs. But here's the thing, too. Well, what if I die young? Well, okay, then you didn't save any money. Good for you. That's fine. You did everything you could to live in the moment. That's grand. If you don't. Well, what if the dollar goes to zero? Okay. What if it doesn't? What's your plan? Most of the time, things work out. Work out more spectacularly than we think, because we think negatively. We do. And they work out. And we need to remember that. I mean, sometimes there just isn't an alternative plan. There isn't. What if we go into nuclear war? Well, if we do, I guess it really doesn't matter, does it? It really doesn't matter. Hug your kids last time you're going to see them. Here. Hopefully you see them on the other side. And hopefully we'll talk to you on the other side of this break. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. Do ring us up. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and once again, thank you for joining us. Our number is 580-5436. It's 580-KIDO. dave@petsofinancial.net if you prefer email, and some people do. They just get a little nervous, and it's okay. Shoot us an email if you don't want to be on air. Let's go to Randy. Randy, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Good morning. Hope that your Easter weekend's doing great.
It is. Actually went on a walk yesterday from a crosswalk with a group, and all the way from the depot to the top of Table Rock. That was
That's quite a stretch.
It was a good stretch. I think somebody said it was 5.6 miles, a little bit of it uphill, and the cross was not light. So
should get into the snow or something?
No, it was surprisingly dry up there. It really was. We were all shocked we could actually go. We thought the trails might be muddy, but they were great. So, but thanks. Hope you're having a great Easter,
what
too.
What I've got is a stupid problem. I must have created it myself. I had a CD that matured, and so my wife went down, and while I was working out of state, and she... instead of rolling it over or something, you know, just taking the money out or whatever, invest it, whatever, it's about $25,000 at that time. She got talked into putting it in an IRA.
Do you mean an annuity? It sounds like it was in an IRA. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And, well, the CD was something that we just bought. And had it there. We had already paid taxes on the money. So
you can't put $25,000 in 1 year into an IRA.
Oh, no, not 1 year. No, it was over a period of time. But But anyway, what happened was now I forgot about it. It's been 15 years ago or some ridiculous amount of time.
Okay.
My brain's gone dead. But anyway, now I've got this governmental that you have to withdraw. You're at the age where you got to start taking money out. And I didn't even realize it, but I already paid taxes on it once. Now I'm going to pay taxes on it again. And I think what, if correct me, they said that I got to take out so much. So I'm thinking by their calculation, somewhere around $9,000. Does that sound right?
It there is a factor. So you must be 72. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Going on to it.
Right.
Not there yet.
Sometime this year you are, apparently, right?
Yeah, okay. Right.
So 72, you're going to be having to take out approximately 3.5. About 3.5%. Okay, that's the factor. And as you get older, so it sounds like if it's $9,000, that has grown to $300,000 for you.
I just didn't want to pay. I don't mind paying taxes on what's gained or anything. It's just the basic stuff that I thought I had already paid taxes on, so I'm paying it twice. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to know what happened all those years ago, right? It is. It's really hard to know.
Right, right.
But you are where you are. There's nothing you can do about that if it's sitting in an IRA. I don't think there's anything you could do about it if it's truly in an IRA. Now, if it was in a non-deductible IRA, then you can get your principal back out without taxes. You'll have to pay taxes on the gain, which sounds like it was pretty high. So I think the problem you have on this too, Randy, is that you need some help. Okay, and I don't think you just want to have it. And one day you wake up, and then the bank says you ought to do this, and
that's
like, okay, we'll do it.
Is I've done it like stocks and so forth. Let it ride, because it'll go up. Everything goes up. Just give it some time. Don't get panicked about the economy and who's in the office and all that. It'll work.
Right.
But, so I've come to learn about that a long time ago. But boys. This thing I kind of feel bad about because I could have taken it out and of course I wouldn't have gained anything on it by doing that. So I guess there's a bad part and a good part to everything that you do as far as investing.
Yeah.
You can act too fast and gain with nothing.
And maybe your best bet would have been a Roth IRA during that time. I don't know. You know, it's just hard to go back and look at all your tax returns, know what happened. And at this point, I just don't know how you reconstruct that from 15 plus years ago. And I just don't know how you would do that. You can always take your old tax returns, take a look and see. But at the same time, I'm not sure you're going to be able to claim that it was a non-deductible IRA at this point, and that's a possibility if you did.
And whether it's worth it, really. I was thinking that, you know, that would start throwing mud at it, and they'd probably open up a tax return 15 years ago and say you didn't pay enough or some darn thing. I don't know. Anyway, I think that you're right. Just let her ride and pull out 3.5% or whatever it's required.
It is. I think that makes sense. But I also think you need to spend some time, and if you need some help, go get some help. But I think you need to figure out what it is you have, okay, and make a plan for the rest of your life with what you have. You may have $300,000 there. You don't know how it's invested. You don't know why it's doing what it's doing, and you whether you should be paying taxes or not. So let's get that fixed, okay?
Yes, sir.
You got it, Dave. Find out what you got. Go ahead.
You were talking about Disneyland being woke.
Yeah.
And I've got a little side story, if you got a second. It's my granddaughter has been accepted to take an internship over in Walt Disney, you know. They pay you and they give you room and board and that kind of thing. Or I guess you have to pay a little bit of it, but I don't know. Anyway, with all this thing coming about, all the parents and all the grandparents and everybody's concerned about whether this is a good move for her to go to Disney at this time with everybody being woke.
Yeah.
She was, homeschooled. She went to BYU. She's, you know, very straight. And boys are boys and girls are girls. And she doesn't understand this. And I said, well, you know what? It's a great opportunity to learn no matter what you do. And if it gets too bad, you've always got a plane ticket home. So I'm just saying that, you know, if people stop putting up with it, you know, and do whatever they have to do as far as not buy Disney, boycott it, whatever they have to do. That's totally within their realm of speaking of doing the right thing Christian-wise and doing the wrong thing and letting them go on without being punished of some way. So I just wanted to let you know that my granddaughter's going to go ahead and go down there and make the best of the best situation she can.
That's good. Maybe she'll change all the nuts down there. How's that?
Well, you know, I hope so. I don't know. I think our school system's created a whole generation of weirdos.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few of them that popped out that's got a, you know, level head on them, but there's so many of them that just, you know, don't want to get off the couch, want to have lunch at 1 o'clock all day long, take, you know, 4-day work weeks and all that stuff.
Right on.
Well, Dave,
Randy,
thank you
for your call.
I'll get back with you at your office and see what we can do.
All right. You have a good rest of the day. Thanks for calling. Happy Easter.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye.
Yeah, you too, sir.
Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net is our email address if you prefer. Let's go to LJ. LJ, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, happy Easter. God bless you guys. I'm not sure if this is going to be up your alley or not, but I got a question.
Mm-hmm.
My wife worked for a company. She no longer works for them and hasn't for probably 6 or 7 years. But at the time, for an appreciation, they gave her some documents saying that she was part owner in the company at that point. Like, they gave her, I don't know how many shares, but it came out to like 10% of the company. And the owner at the time was saying that they were planning on going public with the company at some point, and those shares would be worth, you know, however much money. At the time, I think he's saying that the company is worth like $10 million or something.
Okay.
So it's never gone public. And so basically, I guess my question is, what can she do with that? I know that he had given investors in the company shares and things like that, percentages of the company. And they would get some sort of dividends or some sort of return on their investment. But she's never seen anything like that. And it's just kind of sat there. And I just wondered if there was something that can be done with that.
Well, we have a bunch of information that's missing, okay? And I think you need to get to the bottom of it, because you can't treat shareholders differently. I mean, you can if there's different classes of stock, meaning somebody buys in preferred, they get an interest rate on it, called dividends, and others, common stock, doesn't. I don't know if these are stock options, that she doesn't really own stock. And if they're options, do they have a period of time they have to be exercised in? So these are questions that she needs to find out. I don't know. Is she still with the company? I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, she's no longer with the company and hasn't been for probably, I think, about 5 or 6 years. And she's spoken with the owner off and on. You know, they're still friendly and stuff. And and she's asked him about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, eventually we're going to go public. And when it goes public, it's going to be worth, you know, this amount of money. I think at the time he said the company was worth about, you know, $4 or $5 million, and most recently he's told her the company's grown and it's worth like $10 million or something to that effect. But basically it's just kind of just something that sat there with nothing.
And she actually has stock certificates.
He did go through an attorney and have these papers drawn up, like it's official, you know, papers. We just have no idea how to what to do with it, if anything can be done.
I think the thing is, I think you're going to need to get some advice on it. I mean, people can be friendly, but not necessarily be working in your interest, right? I don't know.
Sure.
Hey, we're going to go public sometime. Well, if it's worth $10 million, honestly, that company is so far from going public. There are not companies that go public at $10 million, right? It's just not going to happen. They got to get a lot bigger than that. So I don't know when or what's going on here. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me at this point. So I would read the documents carefully, and if you felt like you needed some clarification, I'm guessing you could go to a securities attorney and get some kind of a quick read on it. Or if you think you understand a little bit, then take it back to the owner and sit down with them and say, I just don't understand. Do I get dividends? Do I not? When does this happen? When is this triggered? Does this go on forever? If we don't go public, what happens to this? Does it just go away?
Okay.
I mean, you all should have that. I you know, if it's even on the radar screen for, boy, we sure would love to know if we have $10 million here or not, right? If it is,
right.
Find out what it is so that you don't also run through some kind of a time frame where you don't act and so it goes away.
Okay.
Okay? So I don't know that there is.
Is that something that you can sell or is that something?
That's a question to ask. Is this transferable? And it should be dealt in the documents. It probably is not. But it could be. It really could be. I just don't know if she actually owns stock or not. Stock is transferable unless it's specifically restricted. So it would be if it is. If it's options, no, they're not.
Okay.
Does she vote on things?
No, but she has gotten some paperwork, not on a regular basis over the last few years, but randomly she's gotten some, you know, minutes from their meetings and things like that.
Okay. All right. Well,
on a regular basis, like you would think quarterly or something like that. It's just been randomly, you know, maybe two or three times over the last few years.
Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. All right.
So it's kind of weird.
Yeah, I'm sorry I can't be more help. I don't know what you're looking at. So read the papers again and see if you guys can get some clarity on it. And then try to visit with the owner again. And if it just doesn't feel right, hire somebody.
Yeah, okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good day. Thanks. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dave@PetsoFinancial.net. We're going to be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO is our number. Real quick here, let's grab this email here. I have an E-Trade portfolio of about 24,000, which is in some various things. It's down 1,000 since Christmas, !! Part of it is in a Roth IRA, whatever that is. I keep waiting for it all to rebound. And I also have $10,000 in cash at Franklin Templeton, which is actually a mutual fund company, so I doubt that's in cash, okay? I own a couple homes. One's a rental. I have income of around $25,000, 75 years old, and I'm totally befuddled. Okay. And then it goes on to say something about an appointment with us was canceled. Not sure why you wouldn't have had a call back. But anyway, so here's the deal. A couple of things here. If you do need to come in because you need to go somewhere. If you don't know what you have, number one. Number two, you don't know what a Roth IRA is. You need some help. You're not having much income here, and I'm not sure why your income is so low with Social Security and a home. So I'm not sure what's going on with that rental, if it's, you know, rented below market or whatever. That should also be looked at in my mind, okay? But the fact that you're down $1,000, that's really less than 5% since Christmas. Market is down 5% since Christmas. So you seem to be right on track there, and I'm not sure why that would be, you know what I mean, waiting for it all to rebound and come back, and then do what? You know what I'm saying? So the plan, we need to figure out what the plan is, right, long term for income, and $25,000 of income is not much, right? It's just not much. We need to try to figure out how to get more to you. I just wanted to say I follow back up because you do need to have some help. Okay. All right. Now let's go ahead and grab Terry. Terry, thanks for holding. Go ahead, please.
Boy, that was, you keep throwing stuff in here and ruining all the stuff I want to say, Professor.
Well, good. We're making you think. We're going to set your hair on fire or make your head explode, either way.
Yeah, give me some duct tape to wrap around my head. No, I just wanted to start the day with a simple question. Why can't we have a simple 30 to 50% correction to get all these milquetoast snowflakes all exercised and start all over again? I mean, it goes up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got their knickers in a bunch. And you know, I just don't understand sometimes. It's there's a Bitcoin term I learned is FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Yeah.
And what they do, you know, what it is well, since when have you ever believed the media or the government? They're trying to cause enough division to allow them to manipulate you. And it works the same way with, I don't know, certain financial advisors, maybe. I don't know.
Well, there are. I get that. And I think that this is the kind of environment, unfortunately, where fear really sells well because it's going on and on. If to your point, we would just like quickly go down like we did during the pandemic, like boom, we're down 30%. That is just so fast. And then we're back up, you know, at all time highs. That there's not as much time to react when we kind of like grind out and there's a Ukraine war and inflation and Joe bumbles around the White House on TV all the time. There's no confidence. And so there's this fertile ground for people to prey upon people's fears.
A reasonable market used to be the term climb the wall of worry.
Yep. Still is. Yeah.
You do that slowly. Everybody wants to get rich yesterday.
Yep. The speed of the markets is both ways. We have fear of it. We also try to get rich quick, and it doesn't work.
One little bit of money. I am grateful to the government or the governor for sending out his reelect me tax rebate.
Yeah,
I got a little extra there, and that was a cynical statement, probably.
Yeah, it was a little cynical, Terry. Yeah.
But I miss reading in the history books when they used to take a disingenuous bureaucrat or politician, tar and feather them, and run them out of town on a rail and have an immediate lesson. Don't do that to the people anymore.
Well, I know, but you know, sending people money probably isn't one of those tar and feather moments.
Yeah, no, it depends on where it came from and who they took it from to give it to you.
Yeah, well, they took it from you and gave it back to you.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. I'm really sure of it. All right, Terry, thank you very much.
All right, Professor, you have a good weekend. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too. Thank you. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Well, you know what? We're gonna about run out of time. I really, you know, it's one of those things. I guess maybe part of the reason this week I struggled. I struggled a little bit with what to really talk about, right? Is because my mind is on a lot of other things right now. And so, and that's perfectly natural for all of us, right? There's times where we have tragedy in our life, and that's, you know, I'm losing some friends, and those are hard things. Those are hard times, right? And you get to where this is what's really important in life, I get, right? But what we want to guard against during those times, too, is nothing matters. And to a degree, it doesn't, except your family and health and all those things that are important in your faith. And here we are at Easter. But we also don't want to have that kind of general, doesn't really matter, it's depression, if you will, that lays over our feelings about what's going on really, right? Because that's the kind of thing that we see too much bad news. We see it too clearly. We don't see how anything can work out and work out overall. Just let's remember in this time, too, that life is short, incredibly short. It is so short sometimes that we get woken up when we lose people we love. And it wakes us up in this way that sometimes we can feel really down about it. And grief is real. But at the same time, let's not be thinking in that way, that everything is horrible, because it's not. It's just unknown. It's unknown how this whole Russia thing's going to come out. It's unknown what's going to happen with inflation. But things tend to work out. And when we're down, it doesn't feel that way. So let's not let it drag that much. Have a happy Easter. We'll talk to you next week.